Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus, Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Dalet. In the Mishnah, we had learned that one of the examples of kores, of a sin punishable by the kores punishment, is one who consumes chelev. Chelev is a section, or actual multiple sections of an animal, of a kosher variety animal, that is forbidden to eat. There are different sorts of membranes and fats that are found inside an animal at different points in its anatomy. If one eats chelev, as we said, one will be chayav kores. This applies to the chelev of domesticated animals. There is no chelev prohibition when it comes to oifos and chayos, birds, nor undomesticated kosher variety animals. Before we learn the Gemara itself, let us glance at the topic heading that you find in the outside margin of our Gemara page. In the Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that we feature as the Gemara on your screen in Gemara Markings, the cornerstone of our Gemara marking system, we offer title headings that we refer to by the term nosei, and structural notes, which we refer to by the term mivneh when needed from time to time. In this case, our nosei heading reads, Ha'oichel chelev shor kesevies. If one were to eat a sufficient minimum quantity of the chelev of an ox, a sheep, and a goat. So he's eating 3 olive size, which is the minimum size of eating. He eats a chelev, the chelev of these 3 different animals, b'hasro achas, with having received only 1 warning, and he eats these 3 in one state of lack of awareness. Machloikis Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanon iloike al kol echad ve'echad oiloi. We will see a machlokis, a tanaic controversy between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbanon. Does each one generate a separate set of lashes or not? The Gemara, Ho'echel Chelev, Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara cites a posuk in Vayikra Zayin, posuk Chof Gimel, Kol Chelev Shor V'Kesev V'Chesev V'Eiz Lo Sochelu. The posuk says, you shall not eat the Chelev of an ox, a sheep, nor a goat. L'chayev Al Kol Achas V'Achas, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that there will be a separate penalty of lashings for one who eats each one of these having received just 1 warning. The Chachamim omrim eino chayav elo achas. The Chachamim said that even if he eats a chelev from each one of these 3 different animals, with having received 1 warning, he will not be chayav any more than just 1 set of lashes. So what is the underpoint, the underpinning of this controversy? Nema the Halkamith Ligi, should we say that the Machlokis concerns the following, Rabbi Shmuel Savar Loikin al Lav Shebacholos, that lashings can be meted out in the case of a negative command that's stated in a general form. In this case, the Pasuk says Kol Chelev. The word kol is a klal, is a general statement. So, is it so that Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that when a lav is stated in a klal fashion, it generates malchus, and for each item in the klal, each item in the general category? In other words, there's a general statement, and under the general statement, there are numerous details. So it appears that Rabbi Shmuel says that when you have a construction like that, it generates a separate Malkos for each one. The shita of the Rabbonan here is that Rabbonan Safri ein loikin alav shebechlolos. According to this suggestion, the Rabbonan would say that when you have a general prohibition with details that accompany it, you wouldn't get a separate set of lashings for each item, but rather one set of lashings. So with that, the Gemara has raised the suggested, maybe this is the point of controversy. The Gemara answers or responds, Le'olam sovar Rabbi Shmuel ein loiken alav shebechlolos. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us note the structure, because we see triangles that appear, and as you skim down the page, you notice a number of triangles that appear sometimes with the point up, and sometimes with the point facing down. You'll also notice that we have a numbering scheme to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, triangles with little numbers in them. To the outside margin, you notice the Mivneh heading, where we have written with the triangle featured, Nisyonos Lahasbir Es Rabbi Shmuel. The triangle facing up are attempts to explain Rabbi Shmuel, and with the point facing down, Tshuvos HaRabbonon, the response of the Rabbonon, in an attempt to respond to what Rabbi Shmuel is holding. Then we will see a double underline with dots in it, highlighting the expression Shapir Ko'amri Lei, where it seems that they are offering such a good explanation that how could we rely on the explanation we gave for Rabbi Yishmael? And when you see that in the Gemara, that will force the Gemara to move on to the next suggestion as to what the point of Machlokes, or what is the explanation for Rabbi Yishmael. So we are now starting the first of these responses. So the Olam Sova Rabbi Yishmael Ein Loiken Alav Shebechlolos. In general, when you have this type of negative presentation, negative, namely a forbidden act, in a klal fashion, in a general fashion, there will not be individual malkos for each item. V'shayni hocha, this situation of chelev is different. The miasri le kroy, the pasuk has extra expressions in it that give grounds for the additional set of lashings. How is that? Nichtoiv kro, the pasuk could have said, Kol chelev lo sochelu. A general statement, don't consume chelev. Why does the Torah enumerate shor v'kesev eiz? Lo moli. What is the reason for that enumeration? Shma mino lechalek. It is for this very reason, to show that there's an individual set of malkos for each type of chelev that one eats, each animal chelev that one eats. Rabbanon, their response to that is no. The enumeration here of the individual animals is simply to dispel something erroneous that I would have thought had there not been this enumeration. The Rabbanon say, Ilo ksiv shor v'chesev o'eiz, if I wouldn't have had this enumeration, hava mina, I would have thought, had I just had the pasuk like was suggested, kol chelev lo so chelu, I would have thought afilu chelev chayo b'mashma. Even the chelev of an undomesticated kosher variety animal would be prohibited, which is not true. Lahochi kosav, therefore, the Torah enumerated shor kesev eiz to spell out lameimro de chelev shor kesev eiz hu de oser, to enumerate and to specify that these are the animals where chelev is oser, aval de chayo shori. However, the chelev of a chayo, of an undomesticated animal, is allowed. So the enumeration cannot be for what we call lechalek, to itemize separate sets of lashings, but rather to hammer home the point that chelev chaya is allowed. In fact, shapir ko amri lei. This seems to be a solid response of the Rabbanan to Rabbi Yishmael. So what is really Rabbi Yishmael's basis? Elohainu taimo de Rabbi Yishmael. This is the reason. And this is now number two. This is the reason for Rabbi Yishmael in saying lechalek, individual itemized malkos for each one. Dekosavar im kain, Rabbi Yishmael holds it, if it's so that the purpose of the pasuk is to communicate the idea that chelev of chaya is allowed, lichtoiv, the pasuk could have said kol chelev shor lo sochelu. The chelev of a shor don't eat, and I would have said, okay, a shor chelev is aser, ox chelev is aser, but chaya chelev is allowed. Kesev eis lomali. Why does the Torah continue itemizing with these animals? So shma mino lechalek. The citation of kesev and eis in addition to shor leads Rabbi Shmuel to say there is a separate set of malkos for each one. Granted, just to review a little bit of what we've done here, granted, had the pasuk said, kol chelev lo sochelu, I would have been misled into thinking chelev of chaya is also aser. So Rabbi Shmuel says, okay, but the pasuk, if the only concern is the permission, the permissibility of chelev of chaya, the pasuk could have said, kol chelev shor lo sochelu. Why does the Torah continue to enumerate? So it must be lechalek, for the purpose of itemizing. Verabonan Safri, the Rabbonan's response to that is, I kosav rachmona kol chelev shor, had the Torah written what Rabbi Shmuel suggested, I would have had an incorrect impression. Hav amina nelev shor shor misinai. I would have then said that there's a word comparison between the topic of Chelev and the topic of Sinai is the giving of the Torah. At the time of the giving of the Torah, all animals were forbidden to draw unto the mountain at the time of the giving of the Torah. And that, even though the Torah mentions doesn't itemize all the different kinds of animals, but I know that all kinds of animals were included, I would have thought the same thing with regard to chelev. That if, even though you're telling me that the chelev of shor is forbidden, I wouldn't have stopped at shor. I would have thought all kinds of animals are also included. Ma gabi sinai chayav of kayotze bohen. Af gabi achilo chayo va'oif kayoitse bohen. Just like by Sinai, not only shor was prohibited to go onto the mountain, but all creatures, chayas and ophos as well, so too by eating, which is a reference to chelev, I would have thought, though the Torah might have said, like Rabbi Shmuel suggested, shor, but that would not have excluded chaya. I would have thought chaya and oph are the same. La'ochi kosav rachmona shor v'chesev o'ez. That's why the Rabbanan will tell you the Torah itemized shor v'kesev o'ez l'meimra, to tell us dahani da aser, these are the only ones that are aser, avochaya v'oif shori, but undomesticated animals and bird chelev is allowed. Shapir ko amri lei. This seems to be a very solid response. Namely, Rabbi Shmuel's basis of thinking that kesev eis signals itemization. No, the need for kesev eis is to dispel the attempt to the possibility of making a word comparison to Sinai. Elo hainu taimo. Stage 3. This is the reason for Rabbi Shmuel. The kosavar nichtoiv. The pasuk could have written kol chelev kesev lo sochelu, inami kol chelev eiz lo sochelu. The Torah could have spoken about the chelev of a kesev one should not eat, or the chelev of a goat, of an eiz, one should not eat. That would have been sufficient to let me know that chaya chelev is allowed. Why did the Torah itemize shor v'kesev eiz lomali? Shma mino lechalek. It's needed to itemize. V'rabbonon savri, the Rabbonon's response, I kosav kol chelev kesev. If the Torah had written that, namely that which Rabbi Shmuel suggested, hav amina, I would have been misled. I would have thought chelev kesev aser udeshar v'yeh shari. I would have thought that the chelev of a kesev alone is forbidden, but the chelev of a shor and aes would be allowed. V'chitemo my ulme de kesev, and you'll ask, well, why would you think that? Ulme means strong. What's the strength or the severity of a sheep over an ox and goat? So, mishum dinisrabe ba'alia. A sheep has a unique feature when it comes to sacrifices, that when you bring a sheep sacrifice, the alia is the tail of the sheep, is also offered on the mizbeach, which is in contrast to the shor and aes. So therefore, Rabbi Yishmael's suggestion of let the Torah have written just chelev kesev, that would have misled me, says the Rabbanan. At this point, we have a bracketed section. If we skip these brackets for a moment, you will see, and use the bracket length indicator, that's the vertical dash dotted line that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. That brings you down to the third of the widest lines. You notice there in the middle, the Gemara says, Shapir Koamri Lei. Well, the Rabbanan's response seems to be a solid response. So what is the basis for Rabbi Yishmael? And the Gemara will go on with what we call the fourth stage of the Gemara at that point. But before we get there, we have a bracketed section. The bracket explanation is found, if you notice where the starred comment is in the margin of the Gemara. Let us read this. First, before we read that, we have a nosei, a topic heading. The nosei that we've written, Basoch HaSograi, means within the bracketed section, Hatzorach Shalatura Limnois Emurim Bishor Keves Ve'ez Ve'ein Lilmod Echad Min Hasheni. The Torah has a need for enumerating the need to offer, when you bring a sacrifice, you offer the innards of these animals, the shor, the ox, the keves, the sheep, and the aes, the goat. And the Torah itemized the need for offering the emurim by each one of these kinds of animals, and does not rely on me learning or deriving one from the other. The note that we have reads as follows: Haketa shebesugrayim muvakan. This section in the brackets is brought here. Laharois shab pircha nisrabib alya mufiyah b'mokam achir. What the Rabbanan mentioned here as you can't expect me to rely on the sheep to derive other things, because the sheep has a special alya feature. This style of argument appears elsewhere, and that's contained within these brackets. Achare haketa, after the section Sheva Sograyim. So after this bracketed section, Agamora Choseres Leinyonenu. The Gemara goes back to our topic. Lechapes Minayin LeRabbi Shmuel Chiluk BaChilas. Where does Rabbi Shmuel really learn lechalek from? The idea of the itemized individual set of malchus that one would receive if he ate all three chelevs, one from an ox, one from a sheep, and one from a goat, having received one hasra, one warning beforehand. So now that we've mapped out the Gemara, we go to the brackets. Uchidetana Rabbi Chananya. As Rabbi Chananya teaches, this idea of Nisrabe Chalya that we met, Nisrabe Ba'alya that we mentioned just before the brackets, we see elsewhere. Like Rabbi Chananya teaches, Loma Mona Kosov Emurim Beshor Emurim Bekesev Emurim Be'ez. Why does the Torah say that when bringing sacrifices from each one of these different kinds of animals, is it necessary to repeat that you offer the Emurim, the innards of each one? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Ach Bechor Shor, in Pasuk Bamidbor Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, you'll find in there that the Torah enumerates each kind of animal. Why is that necessary? The Shita Mekubetzes, you'll notice fills in the continuation of the pasuk in the Ois Chof Yud Beis. He says, "Shor, oh, that's going on Bechor Shor, oh Bechor Kesev, oh Bechor Eiz." As you can see, the Torah itemizes each animal as far as the need for offering its innards. Tzrichi, I need to itemize each animal. Now, before we go further, just a little word on the scheme of this Gemara. You see there's a Roman numeral number 1. A few lines later, you'll see a Roman numeral number 2. The first stage of the Gemara is going to say, well, could the Torah not have written just one and I would derive the other two? And to that, the Gemara will say how that would not work. When we get to stage 2, the suggestion would be, instead of itemizing all three, could we not have spelled out the emurim of two of the three animals and then derived the third one from looking at the common denominator between two? And that too will be rejected. And in the course of this Gemara, you'll see that we've dashed underlined the expression Shekenis Rabbe Ba'alya, and that is because that's the reason for our bringing in this entire discussion in the first place. So our Gemara continues. Where we have our number, Roman numeral number 1, the Gemara has says, Tzrichi, I need to itemize, regarding the Emurim. The E Kosav Shor, had the Torah said, regarding the Shor, that you shall offer up its innards. Hava Mina, I would have thought, Kesev Yeis, Lo Yalfino Mine, that you don't learn sheep and goat from ox. The E Kola Mifrach, you could refute such an attempt by saying Ma Lishor Shekein Nisrabe Benisochim. When you bring an ox sacrifice, you will bring Nisrabe, means an increased amount of Nisochim, of wine that accompanies an ox offering. So it could be, since it has a large amount of wine brought along with it, therefore its emurim are offered. However, something with a lesser amount of accompanying wine when being offered, like in the case of sheep or goat, maybe there the innards are not offered. Nichtov Rachmona bekesev v'neilav shor v'eiz mikesev. Maybe let the Torah have written the need for offering a murim by a sheep, and I would neilav is derive ox and goat from sheep. No, that too wouldn't work. Ikal lemifrach. Notice we've dashed underlined the expression ikal lemifrach each time, so you could see the point of transition. You could repudiate that as well. Mala kesef, and notice the dashed underline, shekein nisrabe ba'alya. I wouldn't know innards of other sacrifices had I just told me the need to offer innards of sheep. The reason I offer innards of sheep is because by the sheep you offer the alya, what's sometimes referred to as the fat tail. The tail of the sheep is offered on the mizbeach, which is not the case by other kinds of animals. Well, nichtoiv rachmono eiz v'nelev shor v'kesev mine. Let the Torah have written the need of emurim by a goat, and I would derive ox and sheep from that. No, ikol lemifrach, I would refute that as well. Ma le'eiz shekein nisrab eitzal avodis kechovim. The eiz is unique in that when there is a sin of idolatry, the animal that must be brought as a sacrifice for atonement in the case of a violation of idolatry is specifically the eiz, or the so'ir, the goat offering. So since it has this unique feature that it is the only animal for idolatry, so maybe it is the animal that needs to have its emurim offered in general. But I wouldn't be able to conclude a sheep and ox from eiz. That having been said, minchad lo yalfino, granted, had the Torah written just one of these three animals and expect me to derive the other two, we have demonstrated how that would not have been successful. But how about nichtoiv tarti v'nelev chado mitarti? Let the Torah have written two, and let me derive the one, namely the third one, from stating two. So the Gemara says, well, hey, Dane, well, which one will that be? In other words, which one will not be written and be the one to be derived. So we've underlined in the next couple of lines the suggestion, the various suggestions. Melef shor mikesev v'eiz. Let the Torah have written the need for a murim by sheep and goat, and let me derive ox from them. Well, is lehon pircha, there is a refutation. Ma lekesev v'eiz, shekein nisrab v'yitzel pe'apesach. The kesev and eiz have a unique feature, a common feature, in that they are suitable as serving as a korban pesach, the pesach sacrifice that's brought on the 14th of Nisan, which you cannot bring from an ox. An ox cannot, won't be acceptable as a korban pesach. Therefore, it might be reasoned that innards are offered only from sheep and goat and not from ox. Lo nichtov kesev. Let's try this approach. Let the Torah not write the need of emurim by sheep. V'nelef mishor v'eiz. And let me derive that from the shor, from the ox and the goat. No, is lahon pircha. There's a refutation to that as well. Ma l'shor v'eiz, shekein nisraba eitzel avodas kechavim. The goat we already spoke about, but a cow offering, an ox offering, is also something that is brought in the event that there's a public violation of idolatry. So that goats and oxen have a connection to the realm of idolatry as far as sacrifices are concerned, which is not the case by sheep. Therefore, it could be that these animals have an emurim requirement and not a sheep. Well, let's try this out. Lo nichtoiv aiz, v'nelef mishor v'kesev. Let the Torah delete aiz and write only shor and kesev, and I'll figure a murim from the shor and kesev to the case of aiz. No, is lahon pircha. There's a refutation to that as well. Ma l'shor v'kesev, shekein yesh bo tzad riboy. Each one of those, the sheep and the ox, have a certain element of increase that you don't find by the goat, for example. By the shor, by the ox, you have an increase in terms of wine quantity. In the case of the sheep, you have the tail offering, which you don't have by the others. So each one of those, the goat, the sheep, and the ox, have this element called ribui, and as such, maybe they have an emurim requirement and not necessarily the goat. Therefore, it was necessary to itemize the need of emurim by each one. All that having been said, we just to pick up where we left off before the brackets, we saw the Rabbanan response to Rabbi Shmuel in saying that it really would not have been sufficient to for the Torah to have written Kol Chelev Kesev Lo Sochelu and expect me to understand from that the Chelev of Chaya would be allowed. Had the Torah written just Kol Chelev Kesev Lo Sochelu, I would have in fact concluded that the Chelev of Shor and Aiz would have been allowed. And why would you have thought that? Because the Kesev, or the sheep, has a unique feature in that it has its tail offered as well when brought as a sacrifice. And as a result of that, we are now after the brackets, Shapir Ko Amrule. They seem to be saying a very solid response to Rabbi Shmuel. So what is the basis of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that they're of what we call Lichalek? Hello, Li Oilom Taimod Rabbi Shmuel Kidamrinu Mei Kora. The reason for Rabbi Shmuel is like we said at the outset. The Kosovar, the Im Kain, if there were no Chiluk Chatos, meaning if it were just one set of lashes to cover all of the different animals consumed, the Chelev of those animals, Nichtoiv, the Torah could have written Kol Chelev Velishtok. My Amris, what would you have objected as we did earlier? My Amris, Hai the Kosov, Shor, the Kesev, the Eiz, the Mishri, Chelev, Chaya. You were trying to argue, the Rabbanan tried to argue that it was necessary to itemize these three animals so as to create a permissibility of Chelev of Chaya. But I don't need that. I could have figured out the heter of chaylev chaya, the allowance of the chaylev of a chaya anyway, even without the itemization. Why? Ha ki kosav kra, the pasuk referring to the chaylev prohibition, be'inyona de kochim, is written in the context of sacrifices, and chayos are never brought as sacrifices. Sacrifices are brought only from domesticated animals, as well as some birds, but not from chayos. The dover lomeid meinyono, and chaylev as well is therefore something that is restricted to its context. Inyono is its context. We learn things from context, and if the context is are behemos as opposed to chayos, so chaylev is restricted to behemos only and not to chayos. So the Gemara now asks, Michlal de Rabbanan Savi lo yalfino dover halomeid meinyono. Is this to suggest that the Rabbanan disregard context? When we know that context learning is one of the fundamental principles in deriving explanations from psukim. So the Gemara says, of course they agree with Dover Halomid Minyono. Loi, the Gemara says, the Kule Almo Yafinun Dover Halomid Minyono. Everyone agrees with this concept. So Vehocha Beho Pligi. The following is the the basis of their controversy. Rabbi Shmuel Sovar lemeidin lav milav velav mikores. When you deal with dover halomid minyano, I will learn even things that are purely negative in nature, which means something that would receive lashing, and that's the topic we're talking about, from topics involving kores. Now, there is a, following the girsa of Rashi, we are skipping a few words, plus there is an additional parentheses section in the Gemara, and you'll notice a few lines down from here, an inverted triangle where we pick up. The Rabbanon say lav mi lav yalfinon. However, lav mi kores lo yalfinon. When it comes to learning a lav from a kores, that we do not do. And therefore, what we would like to do here is look at the Rashi at the top line of the outside column where Tosfos ordinarily would appear. There's a double star. Rashi says, Hilkoch iloi kosiv shor v'chesiv eiz havamino chaya b'mashma. Had the Torah not itemized shor v'chesiv eiz, I would have thought that chaya is included. For more elucidation on this last point, we recommend looking at the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary, which is found out of place. It's found on the Hey Omid Beis. You'll notice in our marked Gemaras, we've underlined the expression Lishna Achrina, who elaborates on this point a little bit more. But for our purposes, we'll just say that it's a point of technicality that leads to this difference between Rabbi Yishmael and the Rabbanan in terms of how you learn things when you're learning Dover Halomeid Mi'inyono. The Eboy Esamor, our Gemara continues, Hainu Ta'amayu the Rabbanan, another approach to the explaining the Rabbanan why there is no Chiluk Malkios by Chelev. Because the pasuk that would have been the basis of chiluk malkios, of the itemization of a, or of the of separate malkios for each type animal, is actually that pasuk is used for something else. And the Gemara goes on, Kida Omar Le Rav Mori Le Rav Zvid, as Rav Mori says to Rav Zvid in a different context. Quote, Elo Me'ato Alya Dechulin Titzar. Should it be that just like the alya is called chaylev and is offered on the mizbeach as such, should it be that the alya of a non-sacrificial sheep, the tail, the fat tail of a non-sacrificial sheep, is also forbidden? Omar lei, so Rav Zvid answers Rav Mori and says, Olech Omar Kor, regarding your suggestion, the Torah answers and says, not so. The Torah says, Kol chelev shor v'kesev v'eiz. When is chelev forbidden? When it's something common to shor kesev v'eiz. Dovar hashove b'shloshtan bo'inon v'leka. You need to have a chelev that you find by each one of them, and when you're dealing with the alya, you don't have that by all of them. You have it only by the keves, whereas you don't have the alya chelev being offered in the case of the shor and the eiz. Therefore, in the case of a sheep sacrifice, the chelev is offered on the mizbeach and it's called chelev, but not regarding the general prohibition of eating chelev, which is the topic of this pasuk of Kol Chelev Shor V'Chesev, where we learn from there that only the chelevs that are common to all three animals is forbidden, as opposed to the tail chelev of a sheep, which is not common to the other animals, where by the other animals the tails are not offered in the first place. Hilkach, what do we see from here? Ki also shor v'kesev v'eiz, purpose of these animals featured in the pasuk is lemishri, to serve as permission. Alya lemishri, to allow alya d'chulin hu d'asa. It's coming for that purpose, to serve as the basis of the allowance of the tail of a sheep in a non-sacrificial case. In other words, common slaughtering of sheep, you are allowed to partake of the tail. Rabbi Shmuel, Omar Loch, Rabbi Shmuel's response to that, after all, Rabbi Shmuel uses this pasuk of Shor because of Eiz for his halacha of Lechalek. Well, what does he answer to this point? Im Cain, if the purpose of the pasuk was simply to be the basis of the allowance of Alya of Chulin, then Im Cain Leimah Kral, the pasuk could have read Kol Chelev Shor V'Kesev. Eiz Lomali, why does the Torah add Eiz? It would have been sufficient to say what Chelev is forbidden, the Chelev that's common to Shor V'Kesev. And the tail, well, the tail is not common to Shor V'Kesev, because in the case of a Shor, it's not offered on the Mizbeach. Therefore, from that alone, I would have known that tail of sheep is allowed when you're dealing with non-sacrificial sheep. Why does the Torah add Eiz? Eiz Lomali, Shma Mino Lechalek. It's the presence of the Eiz in the pasuk, the goat reference, which gives rise to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion of Lechalek, individual malkus for each animal chelev that one eats, even though he received one warning. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Moida Rabbi Shmuel inyan korban, she'ein mevi elo chatas achas. If a person, let us say, ate inadvertently the chelev of three different kinds of animals, the consumption of chelev in an inadvertent way, in a shogeg way, it generates an obligation to bring a sin offering, a korban chatos. So what the point of Rabbi Chanina here is, that even though the eating of the chelev of each one could generate a separate set of malkos, it does not generate, in the shogeg case, a separate sin offering for each one. My time, oh, why is that? The lodomi hodein lav lelav da'arayas. The negative command by chelev is not similar to the negative when it comes to arayas. Arayas are the list of forbidden relatives. It is in that case that we know that for multiple illicit relations with different kinds of forbidden relatives, if a man has relations with different forbidden women, for each woman that he had this forbidden relationship, if it was done inadvertently, he will bring a korban chatos. But that is not the case with the consumption of chelev from three different kinds of animals. The Shita Mekubetzes in Ois Chav Zayin explains, he says, Lav Daras Pirush Dahasim Ksuvim Kol Echod Levadoi. each woman is spelled out separately in the Torah. If you look in the Torah in Parshas Acharei Mos, Perek Yud Ches, and if you look also in Perek Chof of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Kedoshim, you will see this phenomenon, how each forbidden lady is spelled out. The Af Oisom Shiksuvim Yachad, even those that are seem to be written together one with the other, Mikol Mokom B'Shemos Michulakin. Each type of woman is has a different label to her. She is, you have a mother, you have a daughter, you have a sister. Each lady has a different title. Aval, as opposed to in the case of Chelev, Shem Chelev Echad Hu. Chelev is Chelev. We don't pay attention to, or we don't identify Chelev as Chelev from an ox, Chelev of a goat, Chelev of a sheep. And as a result of that, you don't have this itemization level required for the purpose of bringing a separate sin offering. So you have this sort of gray area that the Torah's itemization of Shor V'Kesev V'Eiz in the Pasuk of Kol Chelev Shor V'Kesev V'Eiz is sufficient for creating, according to Rabbi Shmuel, a separate set of lashing if one receives a warning regarding lashings, one warning regarding the Chelev. Even though he goes ahead and eats three different kinds of animals, he will get separate sets of lashings, but it's not considered a sufficient level of itemization to warrant the bringing of a separate sin offering. Because as far as sin offering is concerned, it would have to parallel the Parsha of Arias. It seems to me that why is it that we're seeking out a, or why are we using the Parsha of Arias as the basis of this? It's because in the Parsha of Arias, the need for bringing a Korban Chatos is very prominent when it's done inadvertently. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a slash mark before this piece of Gemara, indicating that this is now a new trend of thought. The topic heading that we have on the outside margin, under our Nosei heading, we have written Chiluk Chatois Bachilas Chelev, the need for separate Chatos when in the context of eating Chelev. One point is Shein Echod B'Shnei Halomus, one kind of chelev in two states, separate states of awareness, and beis shnei shemois behelem echad, two different kinds in one state of lack of awareness. The Gemara now continues. Tanu Rabbanan, v'osa achas v'osa heino. The Brisa here is taking off on the pasuk that says v'osa me'achas me'heino. So, in darshaning that pasuk, we break it down to read as follows: v'osa achas, v'osa heino. What does this teach us? L'chayev al kol achas v'achas. She'im ochal chelev v'chelev shem echod b'shnei ha'alomos. If a person ate chelev v'chelev, means two olive quantities of chelev. Here, by the way, is we are not talking about animals, like we were speaking in our previous sugya about goat, sheep, and ox. But rather, when we speak about Shein Echad or Shnei Shemos in our Gemara, we're talking about the Torah names of Chelev as they appear in different parts of the animal anatomy. So you'll have Chelev that's Al Gabi HaKloyos, or Chelev Sha'algabi Hadakin, just to use terms that you find in the Halacha. That is what we mean by Shem Echad or Shnei Shemos, from one part of the anatomy or two different parts of the animal anatomy. So we are, what was the last point we mentioned? That if a person eats two olive quantities of Chelev from the same part of the anatomy. For example, chelev that one finds over the kloyos. Kloyos are often translated as kidneys. So the chalev that accumulates, that grows there, if you ate two olive quantities of that chalev, b'shnei halomas, meaning with two separate states of awareness. In other words, after having eaten one olive quantity, you were made aware that you ate chalev. Then you go ahead and eat another olive quantity, not being aware. And later on, you're told that you ate a second kezias of chalev. So chayev shtayim, you'll have to bring two separate sin offerings. Shtei shemos behelam echos, chayev shtayim. Likewise, if a person ate shtei shemos, two olive quantities of chalev, but one kezias from al gabi akloyos, the other from al gabi hadakin, two different parts of the enemy, even though he ate them both in one state of lack of awareness, chayev shtayim, that will also generate a separate chiyuv chatos for each kezias that he ate. So that you have either a state of mind or identification by way of anatomy as being two sources or possibility of generating multiple sin offerings. Omale Romi Bar Chamo L'Rav Chista Bishlamo Shem Echod Bishnei Halomas Chayev Shnayim Mishum Da Halomas Mechalkin. I understand the first example of one shame. Chalev from Al Hakloyas, and you ate two olive quantities in two separate states of awareness, that generates two separate chatos, because Ha'alomos Mechalkin. Ha'alomos would mean the unawareness. Two separate states of unawareness serve to divide or generate multiple sacrifices. Elo shnei shemos behelam achas, two shemos, two kizesim from two different parts of the enemy in one state of lack of awareness. Amai chayev shtayim. Why is he chayev two separate sin offerings? Habo inon halomos mechalkin voleko. Do you not require two stages whereby he is unaware on two separate occasions? And here his lack of awareness was was the same lack of awareness during which he ate both of these kizesim. You don't have two separate states of awareness here. Omale, hocha. Now, we have a new marking that just figures into our markings. The mivneh, heading on the outside margin, you can see a house shape is featured, and we call this a ma'akav, the attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. The point facing up are tshuvos, responses. The birur hasheela in trying to clarify the question of lo mechayev shnei shnayim b'shnei shemos behelam echad. Why are you chayev two chatois in the case of shnei shemos with one helam v'ha bo'inon halomos l'chalek? Don't we require escaping from one's awareness on two separate occasions in order to generate multiple sin offerings? So the Gemara answers, Omar Le, Hocha B'mai Askinon, we're three lines from the bottom. Kigon, the Ochal Chelev de Noisar, he ate Chelev of a sacrifice that was left beyond its a proper time, left over. The Mechayev Mishum Noisar Mishum Chelev. In eating that one Chelev, he is Chayev two. He's in violation of two separate sins. One sin is chalev consumption, and the other sin is eating leftover sacrificial meat. Omar lei im kain nechayev nami mishum kodesh. If you're throwing in the sacrificial element to explaining this Benaic source where it mentioned Shnei Shemos Be'elam Echad, well, there's a third kind of sacrifice then called Osha Me'ilois. Mishum Kodesh means for having benefited from that which has been sanctified. And for personal benefit from, deriving personal benefit from something that was sanctified generates a third kind of sacrifice in this case, an Osham Me'ilos, a Me'ilo Osham sacrifice. Mila is the expression associated with one who benefits on a personal level from something that's been sanctified. Elo Omar Rav Sheshes. Now, as a result of the source having said chayav shtayim and not a third sacrifice, Rav Sheshis explains, "Kilo de'ochal chaylev de hegdish verbuda he." He ate chaylev of something that was dedicated to the mikdash, and this is in accordance with Rav Yehuda. Desanya, ochal chaylev nevela, ochal chaylev mukdashim, chayav shtayim. If one ate the chaylev of a nevela is an animal that, a kosher variety animal that dropped dead. So if he ate the chaylev of a nevela, he's chayev two offenses. One is eating the chaylev, and two is eating from a non-slaughtered animal. And chaylev, likewise, eating chaylev of mukdashim. One is chayev for, one is guilty of having eaten chaylev, and the second for having benefited from kachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chaylev mukdashim loike shalosh. Rabbi Yehuda says that in the case of chaylev mukdashim, one is in violation of three. Two are chaylev related, and the third is because of zorus. Zorus means he's a non-kohen benefiting from something that was sanctified as a sacrifice. So as far as this is concerned, when you go back to the source that said shtei shemos behelam achas chayev shtayim, why, if it's only one helam, is he chayev two? So we have this shot of Rav Sheshes where he ate chaylev of hegdish in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. You may ask, if this is Rabbi Yehuda, if the unnamed source five lines above was Rabbi Yehuda, the source had mentioned Chayav Shtayim, but Rabbi Yehuda here mentions by Chayav Mukdashim is Chayav 3. It says Lokesh Sholosh. So Rashi explains all of this. If we look in the Rashi, in the outside column of the Rashi, Elo Omar Rav Sheshes, Kegoin She'ochal Chaylev DeKodesh. Rashi says, Ula Oilo Mishum Chaylev Chayav Shtayim. Because of the Chaylev eating, it generates two offenses. Ula Hochi Lo Choshev Oshem Ilos. And here, in the source above, we don't make mention of the Oshem Ilos. Elo Shel Shem Echod. Rather, we're focusing on one type offense. Rabbi Yehuda he, to mechayev achaylev mukdashim shtayim mishum chaylev. The shem echad is the shem chaylev, and on that, Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev two separate offenses. Ushnei shemos dekotoni, the source above that used the term shnei shemos mishum de bechaylev mukdashim ksivi trei kroy. Because there are two separate psukim regarding the chaylev of sacrifices. This on the bottom line, where Rabbi Yehuda speaks about lokesh shalosh, here he throws in the issue of zorus, of a non-kohen benefiting. Mechaychu alo b'marova. This is an expression indicating unacceptance. Someone, they literally laughed in Eretz Yisrael at this explanation. Venukmo kegoin de ochal chaylev de shor v'kesev v'eiz Rabbi Shmuel hi diomar loike shalosh. The source above that said chayav shtayim, and referring to the source that appears at this point six lines above, the source that spoke about shtei shemos behelam echad, why not say that it's authored by Rabbi Yishmael, who mentioned that if a person eats the chaylev of different animals, which was part of our long discussion at the earlier part of today's shiur, that itself generates separate penalties. So why didn't we say it's according to Rabbi Shmuel? It's true, Rabbi Shmuel spoke about lokesh shalosh, three offenses. That's if you ate the chaylev of all three different kinds of animals. But we could have explained the source above. It says this, why Ma'arava here is raising the question, why not explain that he ate two of the three kinds of animals, chaylev of a shor, chaylev of an eiz, for example, and say that it's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Elo Amai. Now we're at the top of Omid Beis. Elo Amai lo ukmal k'Rabbi Yishmael. So why didn't you set it up like Rabbi Yishmael? The Yomar Rabbi Chanina Moide Hoya Rabbi Yishmael Inyan Korban Sheino Chayav Elo Chatas Achas. Now the source that we were dealing with six lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph was a source dealing with a Korban Chatos and not lashes. And therefore, we know from what we had learned earlier that Rabbi Chanino says that Rabbi Shmuel was moide. Rabbi Shmuel concedes that when it comes to a sin offering, there is no multiple sin offerings in the case of eating the chevav of different kinds of animals. Well, hashtanami, Rabbi Yehuda lo misukma, based on this, you can't set it up like Rabbi Yehuda either, as Rabbi Sheshes tried to say. When it comes to the issue of bringing a sin offering, even though the chevav of Mukdashin might have two separate psukim, but they will not generate a separate chiyuv chatos. So we still don't have a pshat for the case of the source, six lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph, that mentioned eating the chevav in shtei shemois, behelam achas chayav shtayim. What is the case? Elo Omar Reish Lakish. Mishum Bar Tutani. Bar Tutani is a name. Rish Lakish quotes him and says, Hocha v'mayaskinon, the case of that source that spoke about Shnei Shemos Be'elam Echad is Chayev Shtayim, Kigon She'ochlon B'Shnei Tamchuyin V'Aliba De Rebbe Yoshua. The Omar Tamchuyin Mechalkin. Tamchuyin, in our Gemara here, it will be translated as different methods of preparation. There's roasting, there's boiling, like cooking, and possibly some other methods of food preparation. So that if one ate a kezias of roasted chelev and one ate a kezias of cooked chelev, that would generate two separate chatois. In accordance with Rabbi Yeshua's approach, who says Tamchuyin Mechalkin. That is his approach to these matters, and therefore the source on Omid Aleph, six lines from bottom, can be ascribed to Rabbi Yeshua. And in such a case where he would have eaten a kezias of cooked chalev and a kezias of roasted chalev in one state of lack of awareness, that nevertheless would have generated two separate chatois, because of this principle of tamchuyin mechalkin. Continuing with the Gemara, Gufa Ochal, this is a quote from that which we had mentioned earlier, and hence it's introduced by the term Gufa. Ochal chelev nevela, loike shtayim. Chelev mukdashim, loike shtayim. If one ate the chelev of a nevela, he would be deserving of two sets of lashes, or he ate the chelev of a sacrifice, also deserving two sets of lashes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chelev mukdashim, loike shalosh. If one ate the chelev of something sanctified, one would be exposed to three sets of lashings. Omalei Rav Shizvi L'Ravo Vishlomo L'Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it says three sets of lashings. We understand. Hainu Dichsivi Kroy. You have psukim for this. One, Chukas Oilam. This is in Vayikra Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudches. We've included this pasuk on the side of the Gemara where it says Chukas Oilam L'Dorosechem B'chol Moshvosechem Kol Chelev V'chol Dam Lo Sochelu. So I have a reference to the chelev as being prohibited there. I have a second pasuk called chelev shor v'kesef ve'eis lo sochelu, and a third pasuk v'chol zar lo yochal kodesh ha tloso lavin. So you have here three negative commands, which would be the basis of three separate sets of lashing. Elo l'rabbonon my taimo. The rabbonon said under these same circumstances, in the case of chelev mukdashim, he's chayev only two. Answer, kosavri, they are of the opinion, lav de chukas oilom bekotshim, the lav de chol chelev shor bechulin. These two separate psukim are actually talking about different realms. As far as the Rabbanon are concerned, the posuk of Chukas Oilam, which we read before, Vayikra Gimel Posuk Yudches, is within the context of, is referring to kochim, sacrificial sacrifices or sacrificial chalev, the lav of kol chalev shor, which was in Vayikra Perek Zion, that is in the realm of common animals, not sacrifices. And furthermore, utsrifi, I need for the Torah to spell out the chalev prohibition in both realms separately and not relied on learning one from the other. And this is now spelled out in the next number of lines. You can see we have a long marking. This is the word srifi appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this marking are to develop this point of why I need to be told about the prohibition of chalev, both in the sacrificial realm and in the common realm. De'i kosav rachmona bekotchim, and we use the squiggle underline very often when you have two headlines that are being featured, we feature them with this squiggle underline. So you have De'i kosav rachmona bekotchim, had the Torah told me about a chalev prohibition in the realm of sacrifices, havi amino kachim hu de chamiri di osur chelbo. Kachim are an area of severity, of stringency, and therefore, in an area, in a realm of stringency, as is the case with sacrifices, so the chelev is something that's forbidden. Abo chulin emo loi, but chulin, which is not, doesn't represent a realm of stringency. Chulin is common meat. You don't have all the restrictions that you do have by sacrifices, so I would have thought that there is no chelev prohibition. Mishum hachi kosav rachmona kol chelev shor. Therefore, the Torah had to spell out in the realm of chulin that the chelev is forbidden. The kosav kol chelev shor, had the Torah mentioned that chelev is forbidden in the realm of chulin, hava mino chelev de chulin hu da'asar, I would have thought the chelev of common animals is common, meaning the non-sanctified animals is that which is forbidden. Mishum dolo huter michlolo, we don't find any allowance made in the realm of chulin chelev. Avo chelev mukdashim de huter michlolo, but in the case of chelev of sacrifices, where there is an allowance made, namely, huter michlolo, in the case of chemuk dashim, hav amina mido huter michlolo, from the fact that there was an allowance made in the realm of sacrifices, ishtri nami chelbon, the chelev would be allowed to be consumed in general. Rashi, at the first of the narrow line, speaks about the chelev mukdashim being huter michlolo, daha al yo ikri chelev bekeves, the fat tail of a sheep is called chelev, vishteroi b'shor v'eiz, and there is an allowance made in the case of the shor and the eiz. In other words, in the case of mukdashim, we find it's only the tail of the sheep that is offered. There's another explanation that you find in the Shita Mekubetzis, which is a more acceptable explanation, and that Huter Michlolo means that you have something that's forbidden to eat, that you would have thought is forbidden to eat, and is yet is offered on the Mizbeach. So that, and that's a reference to the Aliyah of the sheep. And that's something that you find in the realm of sacrifices. So I would have thought, had I been taught the din of chelev as being prohibited in the realm of chulin, I would have thought only in chulin is chelev prohibited, but in the realm of sacrifices, where we already find a type of opening, so to speak, in so far as the chelev of a sheep is offered on the altar, I would have thought that since you find this allowance, maybe in general there would be an allowance of eating the chelev of mukdashim. Tzrichi, therefore, it has to be spelled out that chelev of mukdashim is in fact forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is now responding to the Rabbanan. We had mentioned above that the opinion of of Rabbi Huda was that you have three lashings for chelev of mukdashim. For Rabbi Huda savar ki ksiv nami chelev shor, the pasuk of chelev shor, which the Rabbanan said is a reference to chulin chelev, really is beinyona dekotshim ksiv. It's in the context of sacrifices. And based on the fact that the pasuk is in the context of sacrifices, I will learn the pasuk as referring to the chelev of sacrifices. The Gemara asks, Ela michlal de rabbanon savri lo yalfinon davar minyono? Are we to assume the rabbanon don't agree that you learn from context? After all, the rabbanon before said that this pasuk of Chelev Shor is referring to Chulin, but is it not in the context of sacrifices? So the Gemara says, lo, de kuli almi yalfinon davar lome minyono. Everyone agrees that you pay attention to context. Uvaha komifligi. But here, as far as the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda are concerned, their point of machlokus is as follows: Rabbi Yehuda savar lemeidin lav milav velav mikores. Rabbi Yehuda has an expanded version of how you learn things, or what you have a right to learn things in when you're learning through context. I will even learn the a lav from kores. Rabbanan savri lav milav yalfinon. Lav mikores lo yalfinon. Now this machlokas we saw before, and we had made reference to the Rabbeinu Gershom on Daf Hey Amid Beis as a good place to look for a more elaborate explanation of this. Tanya. Well, you see, we have a couple lines that are in parentheses, so we skip those lines and we pick up with Tanya, a Tanaic source, is presented. And before we go on in the Gemara itself, let's glance at our nosei, the topic heading. It reads as follows: Ma loimdin mikach shedam hukash lechelev. What are we to derive or learn from the fact that in the pasuk dealing with the prohibition of chelev, there is also a reference to the prohibition of blood? The two items mentioned together in the pasuk is what we would call a hekesh. They are being compared to one another, and our issue right now is what are we to learn from this hekesh. So we have a Tanaic source, Tanya, kol chelev v'chol dam lo sochelu. This was in Vayikra Perek Gimel pasuk Yud Ches. The pasuk had read, and we had seen this earlier, it said, and we have this included on the margin of your Gemara above, Chukas Oilom L'dorosechem B'chol Moshvasechem Kol Chelev V'chol Dam Lo Sochelu. Ma Chelev Loikesh Shtayim Af Dam Loikesh Shtayim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Just like Chelev, the eating of Chelev will result in two sets of lashing, so too the eating of Dam, of blood, will result in two sets of lashings. That's Rabbi Yehuda. V'chomim omrim ein boy elo azhara achas. Rabbi Chomim say there's only one azhara, only one negative command as far as the dam is concerned. In other words, the Chachamim don't seem to learn this hekesh. The Gemara now asks a question that lasts a few lines. In the course of the Gemara, we will be using the diamond shape to highlight the expressions chelev and dam. So the Gemara now asks this question, as we said, lasts a few lines. You can see this is indicated by the long question marking the kufits encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. My shno chelev deloike shtayim below hekesha. What is different about chelev that you acknowledge it will have two separate sets of lashings even without it being compared to something else? Because of Vetrei Kroi, there are two psukim. Each pasuk generates a separate set of lashes. One, kol chelev v'chol dam lo sochelu. Two, kol chelev shor v'kesev. Dam nami dam as well. Below belav ekesha nilki shtayim. Even without resorting to the hekesh, could we not have concluded that there would be two separate sets of lashings for the consumption of dam? Why then is Dichtiv Bey Trey Lavin regarding blood? There are two separate negative commands. One, Kochelu v'choldam lo sochelu. Number two, v'choldam lo sochelu b'chol mosh v'sechem lo yivula behema. So you have dam spelled out in two separate psukim as being forbidden. So what is the purpose of having dam taught in a hekish form together with chelev? What do I derive from that? As far as what you thought, namely, that there are two separate sets of lashings for the consumption of dam, because it's compared to chelev, I don't need to say that. I don't need to say to, because it's compared to chelev. Dam on its own has two separate psukim. Elo emo, ma chelev loike sholosh, af dam loike sholosh. What am I going to learn from chelev to dam? That there's a third set of malkis. Gemara asks, "Umayshno chelev deloike shalosh? Why by chelev is it so obvious that there are three sets of lashings? Dichtiv bei bechulin trei lavin, velav dezoros hotlosa. There are two negative commands regarding the chelev of chulin, and in the case that the animal is sanctified, you would have a lav of zoros of a non kohen." Benefiting from a sacrifice, b'dam nami ksiv ha tlosa. With regard to dam, you also have three psukim. So once again, I don't need the hekesh for coming to the number three. Itzderich, I do. I need the hekesh. Sagadai tachamino. Without the hekesh, namely the pasuk whereby dam is compared to chelev, I would have thought hoyel v'ismait. Dam mi me'ila, since dam does not generate a me'ila violation. If one derives personal benefit from sacrificial blood, he is not in violation of me'ila. So since me'ila is excluded, since dam, blood, is excluded from the realm of me'ila, this might mizoros, I would have thought that it's not included in zoros. That if a non-Kohen benefits from the, eats the sacrificial blood, he would not be guilty. Chomash malon hekesho. For that, I need the hekesh. That just like by chelev, there's a separate lav of zoros, which accounts for a third set of lashings. So too, with regard to dam. Velo l'rabbonon hekesho l'may osa. Here the Gemara focuses its attention, we were focusing on Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Rabbonon. Now the Rashi explains this about halfway down the Rashi commentary in the what would be the Tosfos margin, Tosfos column. Elo le Rabbonon, Rashi says, Kevon de Tartzinon de Rabbi Yehuda, Loboy Hekesha, Elo Mishum Zoros. Since we explained that the whole purpose of the Hekesh was for the issue of the Zar, the non Kohen, benefiting from it. V'rabbonon pligi ole v'amri ein bo elo azhora achas. The Rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Yehuda on that point. So michlal desvirlu mizoros nami imit, that dam is excluded from zoros. Ulidetu hekesh olamali. According to the Rabbonon, who would exclude dam from zoros. So what is the purpose of the hekesh? Answer, the Gemara continues, Miboya lei l'chedetanya. I need the hekesh for the following. Kol chelev v'choldam lo sochelu. Ma chelev miuchad shechelboi choluk mibesoro. The ein mitstarfim ze im ze. Just like chelev is something that is distinct from its flesh. In other words, if you have a kosher variety animal, the Torah tells you the chelev is forbidden, the meat is allowed. And ein mitstarfen zeim zeh would mean that if you have, let's say, a bit less than an olive quantity of chelev, and you have meat that's attached to that chelev, the meat will not complete the shi'ur of a kezias. So af dam, the source goes on to say, af dam shedamo cholot mipsaro. So too, concerning the prohibition of blood, blood will be prohibited as an isur of dam, as a blood prohibition, when the blood is choluk mibasaro, when there's a distinction between the blood and the meat. Oitzi dam shrotzim, to the exclusion of the blood of shrotzim, hail the ein domon choluk mibasaron mitstarfin. In the case of shrotzim, these are creatures that are, generally speaking, low-legged creatures. They crawl on the ground, or are very they walk, but are very low-bodied animals. There, the Torah does not make a distinction between the blood and the flesh. In other words, there is no blood prohibition as blood, but rather, the blood of shrotzim has a din of the basar. Therefore, if one were eating, would eat the flesh of a sheretz, which is of course not allowed, but if one were to eat that, but he doesn't have a full quantity of flesh there, but together with the blood that's attached to it, you would have a full quantity of sheretz material. They would mitzarif, they would join up to create guilt. The Rashi, a few lines up from here, says Yotzu Shrotzim Midin Hahekish Hazeh. Shrotzim are excluded from this comparison. The pasuk mentioned V'chol Chelev V'chol Dam, just like Chelev is something that is separate from the flesh, so to the Dam, which is separate from the flesh, there you'll have an Isur of Dam. This is different, though, when it comes to Shrotzim. The blood is not viewed as something separate from its flesh. The blood of a sheretz doesn't carry with it a blood penalty, it carries with it a sheretz penalty. This is Rashi is quoting the Gemara in Perek Dam Shechita. Therefore, when it comes to a sheretz, the blood and the meat could join one with the other. Sharei shem echad lahen, they have one label. Hilkoch dam sheretz ubesor mitstarfin de'ein muzer al daman mishum dam. Since the Torah prohibition of the blood of a sheretz is not a blood prohibition, but rather it's considered a flesh prohibition. Flesh of blood nature and flesh of flesh nature will be able to join up to complete the required quantity if one violated and ate it. Continuing in the Gemara asks, "Vaha mehacha nafka? Is this point learned from here? Mehasam nafka? It's learned from a different source, from a different pasuk, where it says, "Vizeh lochem hatomei." Limeid al dam hasheretz ubesaroi shemitstarfin ze im ze. So, for our purposes, you see that there's an alternative pasuk cited, not the kol chelev v'chol dam pasuk, but rather v'zeh lochem atomei is the source for the dam of a sheretz and its basar joining together. So, what do I do with now that I have two sources on my hands? I leachilo emolo. Ashmiinen hekesha la'achila. You see, this pasuk of Vezeh lochem hatomei, this pasuk was taught in the context of ritual impurity. So as far as ritual impurity is concerned, I understand that blood and flesh would join together to create the shiur, the minimum required amount for tumah. However, as far as achila is concerned, I wouldn't know that. And I would have thought maybe the blood and the meat of a sheretz don't join up. Therefore, I Ashmeinan hekesha lachila. There, the hekesh shows me, the hekesh we mentioned, kol chelu v'chol dam lo sochelu. From that comparison, I learned that in the case of shrotzim, where the dam is not choluk mibsoro, it will join together even to create a minimum quantity for eating violations. Omar Ravina, Hilkoch Dam Nochosh Ubisaro Mitstarfin. Ravina says that from here we can learn that the blood of a serpent and its flesh, serpent flesh and blood, would mitstarif. They'll join together to create a minimum shear, that if one were to eat that, the serpent flesh with the blood on it, and only then you have the necessary minimum shear, that would be chayev. So my komash malon, hainu hakesha. What do I need Ravina for this information regarding the nochash? Is that not the result of the hekesh? And from that hekesh, we would learn that the blood and the flesh are mitzarif. What do I need Ravina here? What is he helping me that I wouldn't have known already? Salka daita chamina. I would have thought without Ravina, Sheretz is Rabbi Lutumo, is Rabbi Lachila. Shrotzim in general, which carry with them a Tumah prohibition. The Torah itemizes 8 different kinds of Shrotzim that are Metame. So those kind of Shrotzim that are Metame, they're included in the realm of Tumah. So they'll be included with regard to the realm of Achila also. Namely, that just like with regard to Tumah, we say that the dam and the flesh will mitzarif. So with regard to achila, the dam and the boser will mitzarif. But that's as far as shrotzim are concerned. Nochosh de lois rabbi l'tuma, a serpent is not something that communicates tumas sheretz. A dead serpent would not be metame. So serpents which are not included in the realm of tuma, lo is rabbi l'achila. I would have thought that they're not included in the realm of eating either. Komash malon hekesha. The hekesh comes to teach me. Kol mili dien domo cholug mi besoro mashma. Anything, where any type of creature where the dam is not separate from the basar. Separate means legally separate. Where they are in fact both forbidden. Just like the flesh of the sheretz is forbidden, the dam is also forbidden. So too, the serpent will be thus treated the same way. And as a result of that, I see that there will be a tziruf between the blood and the meat of a dead serpent to create a shiur, a minimum shiur, of that which is forbidden to eat. Once again, just to go over this last point, had I not had the hekesh, in other words, had I not had Ravina, who featured the issue of the dam nochash and the basar, I would have thought that only in shrotzim that communicate tuma do you have this phenomenon of the dam being mitzarif to the basar. But the nochash, which is not something that generates tuma, a dead nochash is not mitame, so maybe there would be no possibility of tziruf with regard to eating. So that's what Ravina comes to tell me, that with regard to eating, the prohibition of eating serpent flesh, if you have a less than minimum amount of serpent flesh, but together with the blood that's attached to it, you have a minimum quantity, there would be in fact a violation of the Isra Achila of this kind of sheretz. When I say this kind of sheretz, it means a sheretz that otherwise is not mitameh. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara that indicates that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature a triangle, and you can see we've written next to that Rava, because in the Gemara you'll see that Rava is the one who appears in these triangles. And we've written on our Nosei Mivneh, Rishimois Shel Rava. Rava gives us lists. Number one, Shalosh Krisis Huamuros Bedam Lamai. Why does the Torah mention the Kores punishment when it comes to blood? And Hey Lavin Huamurin Bedam Lamai. Why does the Torah mention 5 negative commands in the context of blood of dam? we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava, Shalosh Krisus Amuros Bedam Lamai. Why does the Torah mention three times the Kores penalty with regard to blood? Answer, Achas Ledam Chulin, V'Achas Ledam Kochim, V'Achas Ledam Hatamtsis. One is a reference to blood of non-sacrifices. The second is a Kores penalty with regard to the blood of, eating the blood of sacrificial animals. And the third is Dam Hatamtsis. This is a reference to blood that is, that comes forth from an animal other than or besides the Dam HaNefesh. In the slaughtering of an animal, there's a certain point of blood flow that we say there, the life, we call it the life blood. There's the life breath of the animal departs at that point. However, there could be more bleeding when the animal is already officially dead. That additional bleeding is called Dam HaTamtsis. That we're told here, the third pasuk will tell me that Dam HaTamtsis carries with it a kores penalty for eating it. Ha nicha l'Rebbe Yehuda. Well, this kores, this third kores, works out well according to Rebbe Yehuda, to Sanya, Dam HaTamtsis bazor, Rebbe Yehuda omer b'kores. Regarding the Dam HaTamtsis, there is another school of thought that says that Ba'asar means it's one who eats it would be guilty of a negative violation, but not worthy of a Kores punishment. Rebbe Yehuda says it carries with it a Kores punishment. Elo l'Rabbanon hahi l'may also. We said that it works out well according to Rebbe Yehuda. But according to the Rabbanon, El Rabbanon Hayhi, this third Kores Lamai also, what is its role? V'afilu Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, min Kores Nafgalei, min Kol Dam Desanya. The source for the Kores by Dam HaTamtsis is actually learned from a different pasuk. It's not learned from a third Kores, it's learned from Kol Dam Desanya. The Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dam Matam Lomer Kol Dam. The Torah could have written Dam. Why does it say all Dam? Ein li elo Dam Kochim Shanefesh Yotze Boi Shemechaper. Well, if the Torah would have written that blood is forbidden, I would have thought that's a reference to sacrificial blood that carries with it the animal's life breath. This is the blood that's used for atoning for a person's sins. In other words, it's that blood that is sprinkled on the altar. Dam chulin v'dam HaTamtsis minayin. What about the blood of non-sacrifices? The blood that comes forth after the life breath leaves the animal? Talmud lomar kol dam. So I see from kol dam, I learned dam HaTamtsis, and if you focus on the dashed underline, you can see that dam HaTamtsis is derived from this posuk. So what do I have the third kores for? So we have to account for three kores psukim in the context of blood. Elo emo. So the Gemara has a second approach. Achas ledam chulin, the achas ledam kochim. Those two points are the same as we saw above. The achas ledam kisui. Dam kisui, literally blood that was covered. When you slaughter a bird or an undomesticated animal, a chaya, there's an obligation to cover the blood. In other words, there's a it's slaughtered over a layer of dirt, and on top of the blood that flows there, you put another layer of dirt on top. That's kisui hadam. Now the third kores is talking about blood of kisui. What does that mean? It means if someone, let us say, did kisui hadam when required, and then the wind blew off the covering of the dirt from the blood, and then one ate from that blood, that would carry with it a kores penalty. The Omar Rava, Chamisha Lavin Huamurin Gedam Loma. What is the purpose of five times the Torah issues a negative command regarding the consumption of blood? Rashi enumerates the psukim, but when you're learning the Rashi, you'll have to also take note of the little Aleph footnote that's found under the Rashi text where he sets things straight and gives you five issues. So why are there five lavin spelled out in the Torah against the eating of blood? Achas l'dam chulin, the achas l'dam kochim. One is to prohibit the blood of a common animal, of a non-sacrificial animal. The second is to forbid the blood of sacrificial animals. The achas l'dam kisui, which we mentioned just a moment before. The achas l'dam evorim. This is blood that comes from a limb, as opposed to the slaughtering blood, the blood that comes from a limb, the achas l'dam hatamtzis. Omar of Ilah. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we have a crown shape, and we'll see a double underline. This is explained under our Nosei Mivne, on the outside margin. We have featured the with this double underline, Ochal, etc., Loikis Sholosh. And with the dashed underline, the diagonal dashed underline, we will be asking, V'ha'ein Loikin Alav Shebechlola. So we will have Rav Ilah, you see, appears in a crown shape. And Rav Yitzchak will appear on Daf Hey Omen Aleph at the fourth line from the top, also in a crown shape. And there's a common theme behind what Rav Ilah and Rav Yitzchak speak about. They will be telling us that Ein Loikin Alav Shebecholos. Let's be more accurate. They will be saying something that will give rise to the question of how can you say there will be multiple offenses when we know Ein Loikin Alav Shebecholos, that there is no malchus for those type of negative commands that are taught in an umbrella fashion, in a general fashion, even though they may be itemized. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Ilah, Ochal Meiser Dogon V'Tirosh V'Yitzar Loike Shalosh. If a person ate the tithe of, this is a Meiser Sheni issue. Meiser Sheni is the is a tithe given from 10% of one's produce, first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the 7-year agricultural Shemitah cycle, which is expected to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And he eats the miser. He eats it outside of Yerushalayim. In this case, what did he do? He ate the miser sheni of grains. Tirosh is a reference to wine and yitzar oil. He is going to be guilty of three lashes, three separate sets of, not three individual lashes, three sets of lashes, each set 39 malchus. The Gemara asks, well, ein loikin alav shebecholos, is it not so that we don't issue multiple lashings for those kinds of prohibitions that were stated in a general form? This pasuk, of course, is one that had been stated in a general form. So the Gemara answers, "Shiny hocha." This case of the Meiser Sheni is different than Miyasri Kroy. There are extra phrases, extra psukim that lead Rav Ilah to this position. Michti kasav rachmona v'yachat lufnei Hashem elokecha maaseh dugon chut yoshev ratzarecha. The pasuk already writes that you shall consume in front of the Almighty, meaning in Yerushalayim. What shall you consume in Yerushalayim? The tithe of the Dogon, Tirosh, and Yitzhar. Bifnim in Bachutz Lo. We see the pasuk says Lifnei. Lifnei means inside the walls of Yerushalayim. There, yes. Outside, no. Why does the pasuk repeat this, saying you shall not eat in your communities these tithes? So the fact that you have this repeat information that I could have derived from the inference, shma mino lechalek, this is what gives rise to Rav Ilah's position that there is chiluk. There's in separate sets of lashes for each type of miser that he eats. Each type of miser, meaning each type of fruit or produce miser he eats. The Gemara says back response to this as imehahi. If you're coming to your conclusion based on the pasuk of lo suchalecha b'sharecha, hava mino hani mini ba'ase. Had I not had that pasuk, had I had just the pasuk that said v'ochaltu l'fnei Hashem elokecha ma'ase d'golchem t'yoshev yisrecha, I would have thought there is only a positive command associated with meiser sheni. And if you'll say, well, would have inferred a negative from it, that wouldn't help me to establish that there's also a negative command, because an inference from a positive, in other words, a negative inferred from a positive doesn't have the status of a negative command. As the Gemara goes on to say, Avo Balav Emolo, had I just had the Ochalta section of the Pasuk and not the end of the Pasuk, which said, Lo Sucha Lechol, I would not have known that there is a negative command associated with it. Amtu lahachi, therefore, at the very top of Hey Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, Kosev Rachmono lo sucha lukma balav, to establish that there is a negative command as well. And in general, one should know that because some type of offense carries with it a negative command, there would be a potential for lashing. If you didn't have a negative command spelled out in the Torah, you wouldn't be able to administer the punishment of lashing. So, as far as we are concerned, the lo suchal simply establishes the lav, adayin lav shebichlolasu. And still, then, I don't have a source for this itemization, this individual malchus for each item mentioned, because what was thought to be the source for that is really used to establish that there's a negative command. But that being aside, was back to the problem of the lav shebichlolos. Isn't it a pasuk stated in a general form with details spelled out, which is not the type of pasuk that would yield lashing? In Cain, if it were that, Neima kro lo suchal lo achlum bisharecha ma'asar degoncha. Let's read that again. Lo suchal lo achlum. My lo suchal lechol bisharecha ma'asar degoncha diroshim yitzarecha. If all I wanted to do was establish a negative command, after all, there is the positive of where there is itemizing in the positive section of the pasuk, where it said v'yochavtu l'fnei Hashem elokecha ma'asar d'goncha t'yoshev yisrecha. There, the different types of tithe, different items from which tithe is taken are enumerated. If you want to create a negative command, it would have been enough simply to say lo suchal lo achlam. Use a pronoun. Say do not eat them. Why, in the negative section of the pasuk, does it again itemize? My lo sucha lecho b'sherecha ma'aser goncham tiyoshev yitzarecha. Answer: liyichudi achila dechol chag v'chag. To spell out a separate negative violation for the eating of each type of produce tithe: the grain, the wine, and the oil. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.